You're listening to CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg.
Coming up on the Children's Hour, we're going to learn about President Jimmy Carter. A man of deep faith and famous for his compassion and empathy, President Carter led the United States in the 1970s for one term. Our summer intern Addie walks us through his remarkable life before he became president and his extraordinary continuation of public service after he left office. This show is in honor of President Jimmy Carter, and it's mixed with great music, including some of his campaign songs and songs written because of his inspirational life. The Children's Hour is produced by the Children's Hour Incorporated. We're a New Mexico-based nonprofit organization working with children to make the best in high-quality kids public radio. You can learn a lot more about us at childrenshour.org.
It's time for the Children's Hour. Kids Public Radio.
Why did the kid want to be the president of the United States?
I don't know why.
He heard that politics was full of parties.
It's time for the Children's Hour. Kids Public Radio.
If a song could be president, we'd hum on election day. The gospel choir would start to sway, and we'd all have a part to play. The first lady would free her hips, pull a microphone to her lips, break our hearts with rhythm and blues. Steve Earle would anchor the news. If a song could be president, we could all add another verse. Life would teach us to rehearse till we found the key change and break out of this minor key. Truths and hypocrisy, we wouldn't need an underachiever in chief. If a song could be president, we'd make Neil Young a senator, even though he came from Canada. Emmylou would be ambassador, world leaders would listen to her. Show us where our country went wrong. Strung their guitars on the White House lawn. John Prine would run the FBI. All the criminals would laugh and cry. If a song could be president.
That's Over the Rhine right here on the Children's Hour with If a Song Could Be President. This is the Children's Hour. I'm Katie Stone. Today on the show, we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to learn about a particular person all through the hour. His name is President Jimmy Carter. There is a lot to learn about this extraordinary man, not only what he did while he was in office, but how he influenced people around the world since he left office because of his many good deeds. Jimmy Carter was from the state of Georgia. And there is so much to learn. Our intern, Addie, has a lot to teach us today on the Children's Hour. Stick with us as we honor and celebrate President Jimmy Carter. This is Willie Nelson.
Georgia, Georgia. The whole day through, and just an old sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind. Georgia, Georgia. A song of you comes sweet and clear as moonlight through the pines. Other arms reach out to me, other eyes tenderly, still in peaceful dreams I see the road leads back to you. Georgia, Georgia, no peace I find, just an old sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind. Georgia, Georgia, no peace I find, just an old sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind, just an old sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind, on my mind, on my mind, on my mind.
Hey everyone, my name is Addie Arenas. I'm the intern for the Children's Hour this summer through the Albuquerque Mayor's Creative Youth Corps. Today, I'm going to talk about President Jimmy Carter. who was the first president to be born in a hospital. We're going to go all the way back to 1924, the year he was born in Plains, Georgia. It's a small town in south central Georgia. When Carter was born, it only had about 600 people in it. Today, it has just a little over 700, so it hasn't grown much. Carter is definitely one of my favorite presidents. Not only was he a Georgian state senator, but he was also the governor of Georgia. He then became president of the United States, and later went on to win a Nobel Peace Prize. The person whom we know as Jimmy Carter was actually born with the name James Earl Carter Jr. And although he was born in Plains, his family moved several times. One of the places they moved to was outside a settlement called Archery, which was mainly made up of very poor black families. You have to remember, Georgia is a part of the Deep South, and segregation was law at the time. To remind everyone of what segregation is, it is a practice of legally keeping white people and black people separated. They couldn't go to the same school, drink from the same water fountains, or even sit with each other in church. And even though his dad believed in segregation, young Jimmy was allowed to play with the black kids in archery. This, and his deep Christian faith, really influenced his later life. He went to school in Plains and graduated high school in 1941. While he was in high school, he was a member of the Future Farmers of America and the school's basketball team. After he graduated from high school, he went on to study engineering at Georgia Southwestern College, not too far from Plains. He was there for 2 years before he was admitted to the United States Naval Academy in 1943. While he was at the academy, he met Rosalina Smith, a friend of his sister Ruth. They would marry after Jimmy graduated from the academy in 1946. After graduating and getting married, he was assigned to the submarines and was one of the first to work with nuclear submarines, which he began to do in 1952. With his knowledge of nuclear reactors, he was sent to Canada to help with a nuclear accident that occurred at the Chalk River Laboratories, where Canada was doing nuclear research. This accident allowed hundreds of thousands of gallons of radioactive water to flood the reactor building's basement. He had to put a lot of protective gear and then was lowered into the nuclear reactor to try and fix the problem. He would later say that this experience would influence how he felt about atomic energy and cause him to stop the neutron bomb from being developed. After this, he attended more schooling so that he could become an officer on one of the very first nuclear submarines, the USS Seawolf. However, something back home changed all of his plans. His dad passed away. Since his dad ran a peanut farm, the job of continuing the farm fell to Jimmy. Although his dad died wealthy, because of forgiving debts and dividing the inheritance, the money was stretched thin. This caused Jimmy, his wife, and their children to live in public housing, the only president to have to do so. Because of his hard work, Jimmy grew the peanut farm and became very successful. He then turned to politics.
That's Addie, our intern, and today on the Children's Hour, we're learning about President Jimmy Carter. There's a lot more to learn and many links posted at childrenshour.org. Look for this episode, Jimmy Carter.
Jimmy, Jimmy Carter, lonely peanut farmer. Jimmy, Jimmy Carter, looking out for others. Jimmy, Jimmy Carter, Jim was his brother. Jimmy, Jimmy Carter, loneliest peanut farmer.
Jimmy Carter was our 39th president. I don't know too much about him, because he was born way before my time. But he just seems like a really nice guy.
dogs building those houses for poor people, or writing those books about life, or God, or even the Middle East. I don't know. It's pretty cool that he's from Georgia. He's from Plain, and that's a pretty small place. No wonder the guy is so quiet and lonely. He's probably the coolest president ever. On top of everything is the fact that he was a peanut farmer. That's too cool. The other night I was reading Wikipedia, and I guess he has a bent finger from a peanut farming act. That's neat. Next time you eat a peanut or see some dude selling them on the side of the road, I want you to do what I do. And think of my pal Jimmy and smile.
Jimmy Carter, lonely peanut farmer. Jimmy Carter, building homes for others. Jimmy Carter, Robin Hood's lover. Jimmy Carter, loneliest peanut farmer. Jimmy Carter, lonely peanut farmer. Jimmy Carter, praising all our father. Jimmy Carter, little was his mother. Jimmy Carter, loneliest peanut farmer.
That was Poor Fish with a song I'm not sure is correct. I don't know that Jimmy Carter is America's loneliest peanut farmer. And you're listening to the Children's Hour. We're learning about Jimmy Carter from our intern Addie today on the Children's Hour. But before we come back to her, this next one was inspired by Jimmy Carter. It's from a release called A Legion of Peace, Songs Inspired by Nobel Laureates. This is Lori Enriquez with A Kinder Way, right here on the Children's Hour, where we're learning about Jimmy Carter.
Whenever people come together to help another life get better, this is a thing we call compassion. It's where the miracles can happen. In this world, every day, we can find a way to give. What we do, what we say, we can choose a kinder way to live. Out the things that mean the most are the things we cannot see, like all the love we share around us and feeling good with who are we. In this world, every day, we can find a way to give. What we do, what we say, we can choose a kinder way to live. Every time I have a hammer in my hand, I feel my heart expand. You see it in my face. It's clear I found my place. This is the power of the gift, that when we give, it all comes back. When I look back on all my time here, there's one more thing that stands out so clear. We're all the same, we all can feel it. more we share, it helps reveal it. In this world, every day we can find a way to give. What we do, what we say, we can choose a kinder way to.
Listening to the Children's Hour at Kids Public Radio. We'll be right back.
New Mexico Department of Cultural Affairs supports the Children's Hour. International Archaeology Day is October 19th, 2024. Archaeology at your fingertips. More at nmarchaeology.org. Electric Playhouse supports the Children's Hour. Now open in Las Vegas, Nevada, inside the Forum Shops at Caesar's Palace. Learn more at electricplayhouse.com. You're listening to the Children's Hour. I'm Katie Stone. Over the break, that was Jazz Jamaica with their version of The Peanut Vendor from their CD called Sky Raven. As we're learning about Jimmy Carter, you can learn more and see pictures and links at childrenshour.org. Look for this episode, Jimmy Carter. Our summer intern, Addie, has a lot more to teach us about the life of Jimmy Carter. Where we left it, he had to leave the military and come back to Plains, Georgia to run the family peanut farm after his father passed away.
Remember when we talked about segregation? After Jimmy moved back to rural Georgia, this was a big problem. The Supreme Court had just handed down its Brown versus Board of Education decision in 1954, which allowed black children to go to the same school as white children. This didn't go over well with most Georgians. However, because of his experience with the black kids in archery and what he saw as he traveled around the world in the Navy, Jimmy was all for racial tolerance. This got him in a lot of trouble. The local chapter of the White Citizens Council boycotted Carter's peanuts for a while, but this didn't stop him. Even though the 1954 Supreme Court decision made segregation illegal, it was still practiced in Georgia. When a state Senate seat opened up in 1962, he decided to run. At first, everyone thought he lost the election, but Jimmy proved that his opponent had won illegally. A new election was held, and he won. He was a hard worker and did something that I think is pretty cool, which was a speed reading course so that he could keep up with what he had to do. He was so well-liked as a state senator that he was re-elected in 1964. On the last day of his term as state senator, he announced his plan to run for the U.S. Congress. His main opponent was a guy named Beau Calloway. Jimmy thought that Calloway represented selfishness in politics, something he hated. Eventually, Beau decided to drop out of the congressional race and run for governor of Georgia. This caused Jimmy to do the same thing, since he really didn't like Calloway and didn't want to see him win. There were others running for governor in 1966, not just Calloway and Jimmy. The votes were split so much that he didn't win. He did force a runoff election, though. This resulted in the election of Lester Maddox, a man that was a segregationist. Jimmy hated the thought that he had lost to someone like Maddox. After the election, he went home to Plains to work on his peanut farm and plan for the next election for governor. He ran for governor in 1970. He worked to get both the white and black vote. He didn't do too well with the black vote, though. He only got 7% of it, and he didn't win enough votes for an outright win, which led to another runoff election, and this time Jimmy won, becoming Georgia's 76th governor. Two important things he pushed while he was governor were racial equality and education. In his inaugural speech, he said, "The time for racial discrimination is over," something that would later cause the Ku Klux Klan to march against him. He appointed many black people to state offices through the time he was governor and established a Georgia Civil Rights Council that would work on racial issues. But while he was doing all of this, he was also thinking about something else: becoming President of the United States.
Mm-hmm. I heard a young man speaking out just the other day. I stopped just to listen to what he had to say. He spoke straight and simple, by that I was impressed. He said, once and for all, why not the best? Said his name was Jimmy Carter, and he was running for president. And it laid out a plan of action, made a lot of sense. He talked about the government and how it used to be for you and me. That's the way it ought to be. Right now, once and for all, why not the best? He spoke plain and simple, and I began to understand. I was listening to quite a man talking to me. I began to see. We need Jimmy Carter. Why settle for less, America? Once and for all, why not the best? We need Jimmy Carter. We can't afford to settle for less, America. Once and for all, why not the best? Why not the best? Why not the best?
From way down yonder in the peanut land comes Brother Carter with his goober plan. Wants to make himself head goober for the next 4 years. Got a goober plan to erase all of our fears. Well, some folks say the goober plan's a joke. The press even says it makes them choke. But down in Georgia, in his own home state, the goobers know what he has done, and they all think he's great. Goober, goober, vote for the goober man. Let him wear the pants, give him the chance to show the goober plan. The goober man is making it perfectly clear. He wants to be elected in November of this year. So vote for the man with a goober plan. He'll solve our frets and woes, all the way from Cuba to the ghettos. His plan will help us keep our hard-earned cash. And who knows, we might be driving our cars on goober gas. So plan a peanut smile upon your face. And America, let's all join in the goober race. Goober, goober, vote for the goober man. Let him wear the pants, give him the chance to show the goober plan. The White House just ain't been the same since they got rid of Tricky Dick, yeah, and oh, what's his name? But come inauguration day in 77, Washington's gonna be a goober heaven. Goober, goober, vote for the goober man. Let him wear the pants, give him the chance to show the goober plan.
Presidential campaign songs in a row for Jimmy Carter's 1976 presidential campaign. The first one you heard was done by Oscar Brand. It was the official campaign song called Jimmy Carter, Why Not the Best? That's from his presidential campaign songs. And then you heard The Goober Man, which was written in 1976 by Alvis Howard and J.B. Frederick, and it was performed here by Craig Moore. The word goober means peanut, but it's also an old slang word for someone from Georgia. where Jimmy Carter is from. Today, we're learning about Jimmy Carter with our summer intern, Addie, and she has a lot more to teach us.
Jimmy had already put together a presidential campaign staff in 1972. While he was the governor, he also got himself appointed to several national Democratic committees. This helped him to come up with both ideas he could use in a national campaign and the recognition he would need when he ran. He ran in the bicentennial year of 1976 against the person who was president, Gerald R. Ford, the person who took over for Richard Nixon when Nixon resigned. At the time, there was still a lot of racial tension. The economy wasn't doing too well, and there were big problems in the Middle East. During the election, he chose Walter Mondale from Minnesota as his vice president. He debated Gerald Ford three times, and when the votes were counted, he won both the popular and the electoral votes. One of the first things that he did was to issue an executive order declaring amnesty for anyone who had evaded the draft during the Vietnam War. This allowed many who had gone to Canada to evade the draft to come home. And he was very interested in energy conservation. He was the first president to install solar panels onto the White House. He encouraged people to lower their household temperatures and wear sweaters, something he did in the White House. This was also a hectic time during world history. The Soviet Union, what is now Russia, invaded Afghanistan during the Carter presidency. Jimmy led the world in trying to boycott the 1980 Moscow Olympics. Because of the invasion, relations between the U.S. and the Soviet Union got worse. In spite of this, Jimmy worked to make the world a safer place by negotiating and signing a deal known as SALT II, or the Strategic Arms Limitations Talk, which worked to limit the amount of nuclear weapons that each country had. But there were other areas of the world that needed attention also. The United States supported the Shah of Iran, but the Iranian people didn't. There was a movement in Iran to overthrow the Shah, which they finally did in 1979. Because the U.S. supported the Shah, Iranian students invaded and took over the U.S. embassy in the Iranian capital. They captured 52 embassy employees and held them hostage. Jimmy tried to rescue them in a military operation called Operation Eagle Claw. This effort failed, resulting in the deaths of 8 soldiers and the destruction of 2 airplanes. The hostages were held for 444 days. This was a major cause of Jimmy's defeat in the 1980 election. When he decided to run again, it went poorly for him. He ran against the governor of California, Ronald Reagan, and he lost big time. Ronald Reagan got 489 electoral votes, and Jimmy only got 49. It was the second biggest upset in U.S. history, and that was the end of Jimmy's presidency. But he still had a lot of work to do.
We'll find out what's next for President Jimmy Carter, but first, in his own words, this is Brian Ruth with his single for Jimmy Carter, right here on the Children's Hour.
Self-indulgence and consumption. Human identity is no longer defined by what one does, but by what one owns. But we've discovered that owning things and consuming things does not satisfy our longing for meaning. We've learned that piling up material goods cannot fill the emptiness of lives which have no competence or purpose. Two-thirds of our people do not even vote. This is not a message of happiness or reassurance. And it is a warning. Looking for a way out of this crisis, our people have turned to the federal government and found it isolated from the mainstream of our nation's life. Washington, D.C. has become an island. The gap between our citizens and our government has never been so wide. You see a Congress twisted and pulled in every direction by hundreds of well-financed and powerful special interests. Human identity is no longer defined by what one does, but by what one owns. What can we do? Congress twisted and pulled in every direction by hundreds of well-financed and powerful special interests. Down that road lies a mistaken idea of freedom. The path that leads to fragmentation and self-interest. The right to grasp for ourselves some advantage over others. That path would be one of constant conflict between narrow interests, ending in chaos and immobility. It is a certain route to failure. In little more than two decades, we've gone from a position of energy independence to one in which almost half the oil we use comes from foreign countries. We've learned that piling up material goods cannot fill the emptiness of lives which have no competence or purpose. Our excessive dependence on OPEC has already taken a tremendous toll on our economy and our people. It's a cause of the increased inflation and unemployment that we now face. This intolerable dependence on foreign oil threatens our economic independence and the very security of our nation. The energy crisis is real. It is worldwide. What can we do?
Can our government be competent? Jimmy Carter says yes. Jimmy Carter says yes. Can our government be honest? Jimmy Carter says yes. Jimmy Carter says yes. Can our government be decent and open? As the 39th president, he has spoken yes. Jimmy Carter says yes. Dear President, I, Jimmy Carter, know it is possible to run a government efficiently and without sin or any corruption. I will do my level best to run the government decently without any statement of eruption. Errors and wrongdoings I will reveal to the public. For corruption while I'm in office, I'll not bargain. I'll stand tall like Old Glory, faithful to the Republic. Security will prevail, as sure as I am the President. President Jimmy Carter. Can our government be competent? Jimmy Carter says yes. Jimmy Carter says yes. Can our government be honest? Jimmy Carter says yes. Jimmy Carter says yes. Can our government be decent and open? As the 39th president, he has spoken, yes. Jimmy Carter says yes.
Listening to the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio. We'll be right back.
Thanks to the Outpost Performance Space in Albuquerque, New Mexico, for hosting the Children's Hour. Support for the Children's Hour is provided by United Way of North Central New Mexico. Support provided by the City of Albuquerque and the Urban Enhancement Trust Fund. Support for the Children's Hour provided by the County of Bernalillo, New Mexico. Many thanks to the users at tokenibis.org who direct funds to the Children's Hour every week. Keep up with the Children's Hour and subscribe to our monthly newsletter at childrenshour.org.
Son was born to James Earl and Lillian Gordy of Plains. He grew to become an American like none, and Jimmy Carter was his name. From his farm family to the Naval Academy, when his papa died, young Carter went home to the fields of his birth, planting seeds in the earth to the governor's mansion and beyond. Hey, hey, man from Plains, down where the old Savannah drains. Hey, hey, man from Plains, man from Plains. Jimmy Carter was a man, have you understand, a good man, brave and true. In 73 he went to Galilee, to where Jesus walked upon the land. In 76 Jimmy Carter went to fix some things that was broken Washington. To Camp David he brought Mr. Begin and Sadat to help the warring nations get along. Hey, hey, man from Plains, down where the old Savannah drains. Hey, hey, man from Plains, man from Plains. Most men, sit and rest a spell and sit out in the sun. But the man from Georgia thrived, picked up the Nobel Prize when his days in Washington was done. Well, he met a million people and he shook a million hands, and his feet they trod a million different lands. He read a million books and he sowed a million seeds in the red earth and in the shifting sands. From the peanut farms of Georgia to the Norwegian fjords, Palestine and Mali and Bahrain. From the bricks of Bethlehem to the caves of Pakistan and the brushy fields and hills around plains. For the hungry and the poor and making election day fair, fighting prejudice, sickness and disease. Planting seeds in the dirt, preaching not an angry word. All the continents and all the seven seas. George Washington, Sojourner Truth, and Martin Luther King, Woody Guthrie, Jackie Robinson, Mark Twain. Tell your daughters and your sons of the great could be free from the coulee to the Aswan Dam. But brother versus brother spills the blood of one another, you children of Abraham. A perfect truth might not be of this world. You solve one problem, two more remain. That's the prayer of a man from Plains. Hey, hey, man from Plains. Down where the old Savannah drains. Hey, hey, man from Plains. Man from
That was The Ballad of Jimmy Carter by Dan Byrne right here on the Children's Hour. And over the break, you heard Bill Frisell from his release called This Land with Jimmy Carter, Part 1. And before the break, you heard Jimmy Carter Says Yes. That's the American Song Poem Anthology. We're learning today about Jimmy Carter with our intern, Addie. And before the break, we learned a little bit about Jimmy Carter's presidency. Now, Addie is going to let us know what happened after Jimmy Carter left the White House.
Jimmy sure has been busy since he left the presidency. One of the first things he did was establish the Carter Foundation, which is a nonprofit organization that works around the world to advance human rights. It has worked in more than 80 countries. It is active today in everything from getting rid of different kinds of diseases to making sure elections are fair. The Carter Center website is a wealth of information of what it's doing and how you can help. He has also written 30 books, including a children's book with his daughter Amy, and several books in which he shares his Christian faith. The faith has guided him in two of the other important things that he has done since he was president. Habitat for Humanity is an organization that builds houses for those trying to break out of poverty. Jimmy has been not only a financial supporter of this program, but him and his wife have helped to build dozens of these houses, many times showing up to lend a hand. Even into his 90s, Jimmy still knows how to use a hammer. In 2002, he was awarded one of the most important awards in the world. The Nobel Peace Prize was awarded to him for, and I quote from the award document, his decades of untiring effort to find peaceful solutions to international conflicts, to advance democracy and human rights, and to promote economic and social development. There have only been 109 Nobel Peace Prizes ever awarded, and Jimmy got one of them. He sure has been really busy. Today, he is 98 years old, and he is as active as ever. He speaks out on various topics and still travels to places where he feels he might be needed. It's amazing that he continues to help the community. It is super important to keep his legacy alive for many years to come. Thank you for learning about Jimmy Carter, the 39th President of the United States. Bye!
Georgia, raised up from dirt, learned about faith every Sunday in church. Peanut farmer, a simple kind of man, Jimmy had big dreams and even bigger plans. Natural leader who loved rock and roll, the message and music guided folks to the polls. The soul of a poet, an engineer's mind, Jimmy was old school, but way ahead of his time. A man of peace who was not afraid to fight. He fought every day for justice and human rights. Told us the truth.
try to turn this place around. We weren't ready then, but we sure could use him
That was Blue Mountain from Dog Days with their Jimmy Carter song. And before that, you heard Timothy Scott with Jimmy, an original song for Jimmy Carter. We've been learning about Jimmy Carter today on the Children's Hour with our summer intern, Addie. You can find pictures, links, and a lot more information at childrenshour.org. Look for this episode, Jimmy Carter. As we are producing this, Jimmy Carter is on hospice, and what that means is that he's nearing the end of his life. His wife, Rosalind, already has passed away, and he has said that he is looking forward to seeing her again. I'm Katie Stone. We have time for one more here on the Children's Hour. This is the Electric Needle Room with their Jimmy Carter song. We'll catch you next time for another edition of the Children's Hour.
Jimmy Carter grew up in Georgia, picking cotton, growing peanuts, hanging out with all of the black kids when most of the grown-ups were racist. For many years, he served in the Navy. Back to work on his daddy's farm. Next, he joined the local school board. Later, became state senator. Oh, many in Georgia didn't like him. He would become their most famous governor. Decided to run for president. Promised he was no outsider. Some called him two-faced and phony. And 76 won anyway. And fireside chats with the people. Liked all the deregulation. Helped reduce the campaign of courts. Strongly for a balanced budget. But then the Iranian hostage crisis. So many Cuban refugees. Between high gas prices and inflation, the country had enough of him. Yeah. Though many thought his presidency didn't go well, he did a lot for human rights long after that.
The Children's Hour is produced by the Children's Hour Incorporated, a New Mexico nonprofit.
You can find photos, links, learn-along guides, and more about us at childrenshour.org.
Today's show had production help from Addie Arenas and was written by Randy Pence. We also had production help from Gus Tafoya and our senior producer, Christina Stella.
Find our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, or go to our patreon.com/thechildrenshour.
Or ask your smart speaker to play the Children's Hour podcast.
We post our photos and more on Instagram and Facebook. Find us at TCH Radio.
Our theme music was written by C.K. Barlow.
The Children's Hour is distributed by Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio.
25% of our annual budget comes from listeners like you. Thank you for listening, and thank you for supporting CKUW 95.9 FM at Fun Drive.
Here we go.